Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Well, hello, hi, everybody.
Hi. Hello, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be here tonight. This month's theme is harvest. And we're going to be talking about Lammas or Lunasa, which is one of the witches' Sabbaths. It's a cross-quarter seasonal holiday connecting with nature. And first, we should just kind of catch up here. For me, recently, I went out to breakfast with a couple of my festival committee people here in Milwaukee. And we were talking about, we have a Pagan Pride Festival coming up in September and the Witch's Ball coming up at the end of October. And those plants, believe it or not, seem to be moving along fairly well. I haven't been able to be at the festival meetings as much lately, but they seem like things are going along rather smoothly, which is not how things always go. So I was really, really happy to hear that. And so all week I've been kind of working on candles and doing readings. And today I'm wearing my moonstone pendant, and I plan to do a little ritual and walk in the moonlight later on and just kind of absorb that super moon energy. How about you, Elvira?
Well, it's been a busy week as well. I've had ups and downs, and we've got lots of hot weather and thunderstorms coming in, and I had to take all my flags down because we had like 50-mile-an-hour winds, so I didn't want one of my flag poles coming out and going into my neighbor's window or something. But so it's been interesting, and I guess for me, I just looked at some of the there's weird. I don't know. We're getting a reverb, so I don't know. I don't think it's on my end because I'm not hearing it. But our cauldron person made a point of that, so I guess we need to be a little bit conscious of that.
Okay.
But basically, it's just been a standard week of pushing through things and he basically, my neighbors have been really nice, helping me out. They told me, get your flags in. So they called me. I was trying to deal with the dogs because they didn't like the thunder. So, I mean, it's one of those things you see a movie, the person goes out and the wind's blowing and they're grabbing the thing, so if I thought of that as being very dramatic and I'm sure interesting, but, my personal things have been getting kind of ready for this show and realizing, what have I harvested? What have I put, you know, what is my first harvest? And I'll have to say it's rebooting the show for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what a neat thought.
Yeah. Considering it had a definite like fallow time and it was waiting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and having you as the co-hostess, it's like, it grew better and we're doing better and we're both strong and we're doing something. And I feel really good about how it's moving forward. So I just on air want to say thank you, Deb.
Aw, well, back at you. Yeah, I'm very excited about this. And I think anytime you create something, whether it's, you know, a show or a book or a ritual or whatever, it's like your baby, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, it's something that you've taken the time and put your energy into and, you know, launched it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. So we've done really good getting her off the ground and getting her to the toddling stage. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting process. So, I mean, and doing it literally on Lunasa is just, I don't know, it seems so propitious and blessed. So on that note, I am going to hand this back to you so that you can start, because I know we've got a lot of information and we want to try to squeeze as much of all that into our time frame.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited for this, and it is so, I think you used the word auspicious. I think it's very cool that our show falls right on Lunasa or Lammas, and it's a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is an ancient Celtic celebration that was originally celebrated on the first full moon of August, and so that just so happens to be tonight. And it's a cross quarter seasonal holiday, and it's the first of the three harvest festivals, and it honors the first harvest. So it's kind of like about the peak of summer, but the days are growing shorter. And so it's on the witch's calendar, I guess you could say that, you know, that's marking like the end of summer. Although most of us probably don't feel like that until we get into, you know, until September, maybe with kids going back to school and that sort of stuff. But so I always like to know the story behind each of the Sabbaths or the celebrations. And the one for Lammas I really like. It's it's Celtic. In the early history of Ireland, there were many battles, and they had different invading tribes, and this was recorded in something called the Book of Invasions. In the book, it tells of a battle between an ancient, violent, and a monstrous race of beings called the Fomorians, and another supernatural race known as the Tuatha De Danann, or some people say that they're the Fae. Anyway, so Lu's grandfather, he was a Fomorian. And he was named, I really love this name, it's Balor of the Evil Eye. I mean, what better name can you have for, like, someone who's a villain? Balor of the Evil Eye was his grandfather. And the grandfather was given a prophecy that his grandchild would murder him. So what did Balor of the Evil Eye do? He held his daughter prisoner in a cave. Mm-hmm. But while she was in the cave... he got knocked up by one of the Tuatha and gave birth to triplets. So anyway, Balor went and killed off two of the triplets, and Alu survived and later went on to lead the Tuatha in battle and killed Balor of the Evil Eye. And so they had a victory, and Lunasa became associated with Lu after, or because he hosted a harvest fair in honor of his foster mother, the earth goddess Taeltu. So the mythology of Lunasa is associated with reaping what has been sown, and lots of times one of the features that are used a lot is the harvesting of grain. And so corn, wheat, barley, those are, you know, those feature really big in the celebration of Lammas. But so Lu, he's a sun god, and he's multi-talented. He's the patron of, like, very creative people, like artisans, musicians, storytellers, singers. So you can evoke him to fuel your creativity. He also was very magical. And he's also known in some traditions as John Barleycorn or the Green Man. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that corn dollies are very much associated with Lunasa. And so with the last, well, it doesn't have to be the last, but some people will use like that last corn that's harvested and take the pieces of that corn and weave it into a corn dolly. And the corn dolly is like usually kept in a safe place over over the winter time and then is plowed back into the earth in the spring when you're planting the seed again to make sure that you have a good and bountiful harvest later on that year. So I'm just kind of rattling on here. What are your thoughts on Lunasa?
Well, you know, it's obviously, it's interesting. You were talking about, you know, the site and everything, and it brought to mind, the Greek, dynamics of, you know, Uranus and you know the idea that they, you know, he swallows his children because he's been told that one of them will, you know, kill him and take over. And of course Zeus does in the whole process of the new version being the Olympians from, you know, the ancient ones. And so I thought that was kind of, you know, really unique and interesting, and it just proves that the story or the myth that of creation, of changes of energies of different tribes or beings that come through all have mm-hmm. a similar path. And even the harvest, I mean, we have Ceres in Greece, who is, she is the corn, you know, mm-hmm. the harvest goddess. We have the mm-hmm. great, the corn grandmother here for, you know, a lot of the Native American indigenous tribes here. So, and other cultures all have a harvest deity. And when that harvest time, for the most part, the Northern Hemisphere, obviously we're kind of putting that as our focus, is, you know, this August time frame as when it's the first time of when the first fruits and the first grains are ripened. Mm-hmm. And so there's this sense of they want to bless it, and it's fascinating. I mean, I was doing the research, and you know, I know this. I know, you know, different places have different things. I found that, you know, mm-hmm. places. I mean, even the Germanic mm-hmm. and Romanian areas, you know, have the same kind of myth and deities of what mm-hmm. it is, and a lot of times it's full of the war, like Lug and you know the process there of fighting individual energy to renew mm-hmm. renew the harvest energies. It's also interesting that this is a time frame of hand fasting, and in that instance,
right,
the concept that they the god or the male deity or the consort of the goddess, the grain goddess or the harvest goddess, you mm-hmm. have that process that the king in the tribe needs to mate with the corn or the deity of harvest goddess to bring bounty mm-hmm. also. So that becomes that other part of the marriage mm-hmm. interaction of, you know, male, female, and, you know, the prodigy being the vegetables, the fruit, mm-hmm. the things that come out of it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So that kind of brought up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's a lot of others that have, you know, I mean, it's in Africa. It's all over. I was just, you know, I was amazed mm-hmm. when I started seeing the different cultures, communities, mm-hmm. countries, if you want to call them, because a lot of times they weren't mm-hmm. at that time. But all of these had that same sense of wanting to thank the energy of Earth and the sun for creating
mm-hmm.
the harvest. And
right.
So I turn back to you.
I'm glad that you talked about that. I think the stories that are passed down before, you know, before the written word have a lot of commonalities to them.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
just, mm-hmm. you know, that whole story of, and it kind of has to do with sacrifice. So you have like Lou or the Green Man or John Barleycorn, mm-hmm. you know, becoming victorious, the celebrations lots of times involve, you know, different games and stuff like that. But ultimately, mm-hmm. he sacrificed to bring future bounty in for everybody. And so, and also like the story with so there's like the sun god story or Lu story, mm-hmm. but then there's like the Earth Mother and Kaltu. I know her story has to do also with the whole concept of she cleared the land so that food, you know, grain and vegetables and stuff could be planted, and so
mm-hmm.
and you know, so the whole llamas celebration was Lou honoring Kaltu because she had worked so hard to clear the land that she died from that. And so it's like the Earth Mother is also sacrificing and sharing her nutrients from the earth and giving to everybody. And I like the whole concept of like appreciating the earth and what we reap from it.
Mm-hmm.
It also can, you know, kind of go to us personally, like what we put out there, what we sow, and then also coming back into what we reap from
mm-hmm.
what we previously put out there. And so it's, I like how you were saying that about, you know, kind of comparing that to, you know, what you've sown is the show, like kind of rebirthing the show here.
mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful you to be doing it with you. And so I think that there's, you know, so many different levels of what a celebration like this means. You know, I'm staring out my backyard window right now as I'm talking, and there's just like everything is in full bloom. And, you know, mm-hmm. some things are starting to brown up a little bit and they're getting like just kind of past their peak.
Right.
But I think it's really cool, like for wherever you live, I know that there's different like plants and herbs and stuff like that that are correlated, like generally correlated with Lunasa. But I think that it's really wise to just, you know, to be in touch with the earth and the place where you live, and to look at what's in bloom now around you. And, you know, those are your correlated plants or correlated herbs that you can,
right,
you know, place on your altar, you know, maybe along with the corn dolly or other things that you might be putting on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even okay, we've been talking about more ancient cultures, and you have to realize that as the cultures shifted, for instance, you know, Rome became more, you know, Christian, more Catholic, more, you know, focused on, you know, the story there, that you had St. Peter taking on the same kind of energy as Lug in his own, you know, in his myth, in his story.
Oh,
and then eventually...
Okay.
You know, bringing that process to sacrifice and then going into, you know, the process of renewal. And even the Judaic tradition, the Jewish tradition, took on the same concept with Jesus and, you know, the communion and that whole process is a shift into that. I'm not saying, I'm just saying it's, you notice how things
shift
and modify and change, but still stay the same in the basics underneath.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what the beautiful thing is? I don't think any of those stories are wrong. I think that I think our stories evolve into different shapes and different ways of looking at things as we evolve and move along. So I like how you're like just bringing out like some of the commonalities between different cultural, different religious, types of backgrounds and how they relate with similar stories.
Of course. And, you know, it's also why you can be this kind of person. You can work with this kind of energy and have an understanding of it, be it through one religion or one belief system, one tradition, but all of them come from the same source process of living on this earth, and there are things that come to pass. And I found that to be the most intriguing of all of what I was looking at, because of course I'm very partial to Lug and the Celtic tradition and, you know, all these things, but I found this other part began to kind of get woven in, and I was going, yes, that's where we need to see that we all feel this particular energy, whether it's called this or another thing. It's still that same energy. And, you know, I glory in the idea of, you know, and the sacrifice. There's that sacrifice. I mean, there's a sacrifice of time and energy and focus for us to put this radio show on. And, you know, for all of us, for all three of us that do this. And that in itself is part of the same kind of thing. I'll get off my podiums here and back down.
No, that, you know, that is so great that you said that, you know, because lots of times I think that I'm a person that can be like really hard on myself sometimes. And I'll just like, I'll do a lot of things and I won't even like really take stock of what I'm doing and kind of acknowledging like, hey, you know, this is like pretty awesome what I'm doing, you know, or what we're doing. And I really do believe that what we put out, you know, is what we reap. And so it's so vital, like to kind of keep your energy positive. And you know, I was just listening Oh, wait, no, we got to go for a break in a couple of minutes here.
Yeah, we do.
But just I was hearing somebody talking just about studies they had done and comparing like people with positive mindsets versus negative mindsets and how much that impacted like their physical health. And it's just all so connected.
Right, that, right, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, but we need to, you know, we have maybe, I think, what, a couple of minutes. So is there anything you want to say before we go ahead and break for our commercial, which I always love listening to that Gene music.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I was going to add a couple little things about different deities, but you actually covered up so much more when you were talking about like the different different cultures and different religions having similar themes. And just this whole time, it's I always kind of feel like this is the sweet spot of the summer. You know, I'm in Wisconsin, and so we have long winters here, and just these final days of summer are just really like something to bask in before they're gone.
Right. Well,
yeah.
So I think maybe we might go from here. You go ahead and I'll just sort of sit and wait for our break to go. So there's, you know, I don't have anything more right now to babble about.
So break on, we will.
Break on. Okay.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays 4 to 5. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Okay.
We're back.
Yay.
Yeah.
I was interested because you were saying you had correspondences. I would like to know about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, for, people might vary on this, but for, like for colors, the colors I associate with Lammas are the colors that are kind of in nature at this time, and also, you know, things representing the sun. And so I usually go with like green, yellow, or orange, maybe gold. Lots of times I'll use a gold and silver candle anyway for God and Goddess. And brown, because things are starting to kind of turn. They're like a lot of things are kind of just past the ripening or the, you know, their peak state. And then and what I was saying before, like for plants and herbs, I think I like to look local because I think that by engaging like with you know, I got to tell you, I feel like, and sometimes I feel like this too, but I think that people in general are so disconnected from nature. You know, I look at my grandkids sometimes and they're like, I have to tell them, put that phone down, you know, and
yeah.
just, we're so connected to technology lately. And I think that that's going to even grow more, but I think it's really, really important to be connected to nature. And the best way to do that is with what's locally, like what's around you at the time. And so, you know, the grains are traditional for Lammas, corn, wheat, and barley. But then just looking around, like here or when I'm up north, you know, what I see is, you know, raspberries are usually really ripe, blackberries. There's a lot of those, you know, in the North Woods. Also, like Queen Anne's lace is kind of all over the place, you know, and hollyhocks. And so this is almost the time that I'll start, like, as things are starting to go to seed, I'll start collecting the seeds from a lot of those plants. And then some of the stones, or as I say, calendula too, marigolds. Those are very much like, I think, represent, you know, the sun and Lammas. But stones and crystals is... well, the first of all, I've got my moonstone on today, you know, and so it's a super moon tonight. And so that to me means like extra juiciness to the lunar energy along with Lammas. So I'm going to take a little walk with my moonstone on and absorb the moon's energy. But also other stones and crystals are like the sunstone, citrine, things that have to do with abundance, like moss, agate, carnelian, jasper, aventurine. I think those are all like wonderful stones or crystals to correspond with a Lammas celebration. And and then what I've done, and I think I'm going to do it tonight, is that when I lay out my altar for Lammas, I use I set out like the tarot cards, you know, and so I'll put like the Wheel of Fortune in the middle because we're spinning the Wheel of the Year, and for the North, I'll put the Empress. She represents the Earth. And then to the east, I'll put the Magician, representing the element of air. And for the south, in fire, I'll put the sun. And to the west, in water, I will put the moon. And, you know, and then I'll, you know, call upon the elements and, but I kind of use those as, sometimes I'll put like a candle in each direction, you know, sometimes just white, or sometimes I'll put like the color that correlates with that direction for each candle. But I think tonight I'm just going to use my tarot cards.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And you
and
something
I know
about the tarot.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said you know, tarot cards reminds me that you were talking about a specific deck that you had that I really thought sharing that would be really nice along with whatever else you were going to talk about.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Yeah. Okay. So I just got this deck like a month ago, and I really like the artwork in it. It's by Lucy Cavendish. And the artwork is by Lady Victoria, and it's called the Solitary Witch Oracle. And they do have a card for Lunaset, and it's the theme is forgiveness and justice. And so I'm just going to read what they have in the book about that, because I think it's so neat and it's so appropriate for this Sabbath. Okay, so what it says is, the solitary witch knows there are times when she must reweave her world to ready it and to strengthen it for the times ahead. do this all alone, for her interactions matter, and her reactions and her peace depend, to a degree, on the peace she makes with others. This is the time of Lunasad, and in many ways, this is a time about righting wrongs, healing conflicts, mending relationships, and preparing for a tougher time ahead by ensuring homes are safe and ready. It also prompts us to look within and see that whatever can be fixed ought to be. We can reach out to make peace or let something go if it cannot be brought to a place of safety and health. We also learn to listen to our deepest selves to know what we may need to make amends for and take action to bring our lives back to a place of balance. The dark soon shall lengthen. We shall reap what we have sown, and we can take this moment to be grateful for what we have created that is good and nourishing and creative. And two, we can observe what we may have contributed to that is not so. We forgive, we make amends, we let go, and we prepare ourselves for the winter of the soul and of the heart dwelling ahead of us. We can speak with Lu, the great Celtic god of the sun, of smithcraft, of many skills and talents, and ask for assistance in doing what must be done. Put what you need no longer away for the winter, but first cleanse it, repair it, or let it go. Be free as you walk into the winter darkness and share what you have created with others so that the bounty can bless the entire community. So I just thought, you know, I just thought that's so, you know, so timely and so fitting. But, you know, taking action to, you know, balance, bring balance and good feelings between people who matter to you. And being willing to let go or give away or, you know, bring about change for what's no longer serving you in a good way.
Right.
And, you know, right. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's that internal harvest, making things right, you know, on the outside and bringing balance.
That's beautiful. And as you pointed out, it in itself is its own ritual, you know. I mean, we have the rituals for this time, specifically whether they come from your particular belief system or you've, you know, grown into others and you've added and, you know, as I said, you added things or you've moved on to another space. But ultimately, what you just spoke was really incredible about the whole process, because harvest is also part of forgiveness and for, you know, forgiving that we're going to rip up this plant and take the stuff out of it and, you know,
right.
Forgiveness for, you know, the actions that are taking place, you know, kind of pretty sometimes brutal if you're looking at the plant's point of reference. And then, you know, the actual putting it into another form, changing the energy, and bringing it into, you know, either a pie or bread or whatever it is. And then, engaging in communal activity of enjoying this thing. So you've done the same thing, but you've done it in physical form, but you are also doing it in the spiritual and, you know, the emotional, mental form by what you just said. That's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I like the correlation, you know, between everything that we do really makes an impact whether we realize it or not. And I think that, you know, doing the inner work as well as, like, just attending to what is going on outside of us is really what brings balance. You know, because sometimes I can, you know, I know myself – and I've heard other people say you can get so busy with, like, the outside world and the material, you know, the to-do list, the this and that or whatever, and just I know that for myself, if I don't take that time out to kind of take stock of what's going on and kind of checking in with myself, I can get, you know, kind of lose touch with what I'm truly feeling or what my thoughts really are about something. So I know one of the things is kind of switching here, but I know one of the ways that people celebrate a Lunasa is by baking bread, and I am not I'm not a good baker or chef or anything like that. But do you ever bake bread?
No. Let me put it to you this way. After my daughter grew up and I she went off to do her thing, I stopped being a cook as per se and never really did baking in that way. But I do have a lot of friends.
Ooh, Elvira, you're just like me. Yeah, I'm just like, no, I try. I try my best to not have to cook. But, you know, a little bit here and there I do, but not too much.
Yeah.
But I think, so you know, what I heard somebody talking about is that when they were making the bread, that they would knead it, and then as it would rise, or as they were kneading it, and then allowing it to rise, they would, you know, envision that, you know, their prosperity or abundance would rise with the dough. And I thought, oh, that's so cool, except I don't make bread. But I'll have to get somebody that I know to make some, and we'll do that.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. No, and I came from a family where my mother baked things and made things from scratch and, you know, all of that. And my brother actually has taken on that whole thing, and he does that. And I'm just like, great, that's not me. So you've carried on the family tradition. But, I totally understand. And I think for us, you know, the utilizing something that may not necessarily be the baking of bread, but, you know, the construction of, you know, some kind of, even like berries, you know, you pick berries and you know, you create something simple with that. It's the idea of the energy of turning it into sustenance, even though, you know, bread has a whole, there's a whole chemistry about it, making it or making food from scratch. But I think, you know, and we, you know, there are two different ways that Lunasa gets, you know, I don't want to say celebrated, but there's a more of a connection, like people in country, and, you know, I'm in country. I have country around me, and a lot of people, you know, put out gardens and then pick things and then bring things in and use them to cook with. And so there's more of a connection of the harvest, whereas people in the city, which used to be me back in California, it was disconnected because we were in, you know, we would go to the grocery store and we would go to the bakery and, you know, all those things. But until we started experiencing more recently, and this is what I thought interesting, was the concept of lack, that if we went to the grocery store and more recently there weren't enough eggs, you know, because of the circumstances of production. So even though we are more, I don't want to say civilized, we're more commercialized, it's still, there is a certain amount of experiencing a lack if the harvest time isn't good for one reason or another. And so people in cities, even though they celebrate it and they do it, they can have a reference point to the lack of that process of sustenance versus somebody who experiences it from the actual ground not producing or the blight of the plants or something like that. So I did want to bring that up because we do have different ways to see this belief system and ritual and different ways of doing it. And there are a lot of different Wicca, witchcraft, pagan groups that celebrate it slightly differently for one reason or another. We don't, I think, have a time frame to do that. But just to say that there is the common thread. There is still that common thread that we have talked about earlier within the concept of different cultures, different countries, different places. But it's done with a certain perspective. And I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you were going to talk something more about the rituals and things. So because we're coming to 14 minutes.
So there are simple ways to celebrate Lunasa, and I think one of the ways is just spending some time in nature. Also, if you have an affinity for the Fae, you might want to leave out a little offering to them. Some people will, if they bake bread, which I don't, so I would probably just buy some really good bread, you know, and put a little out in the garden for the Fae. I've heard, something I've done in the past is, especially while up in the North Woods, where I think that I really feel like a connection to the Fae up there, I will put like a little offering, either cream or a little piece of bread or something, at the four corners of the property. Although I think my dog Loki probably runs up there and gets some of it, but but I think that you know, that is kind of a traditional thing to do around that time. And also, even if you're not much of a chef, I think a lot of the rituals I've gone to, we do where everybody brings a dish to share, or even just, you know, sharing a meal with family or friends. But, I wanted to bring up, like, just a little ritual that you can do alone or with a group for Lammas. And as this is like a time of reaping what we have sown in the physical world, as well as in the mental, you know, or emotional and spiritual realm, I thought that this would remind us, like, to be mindful of what we plant out there. And so for this ritual, I would have us plant blessings. And so basically what I would do is just have you, you know, cast a circle and then call the quarters and invite the deities to your circle, and make, you know, whatever offerings that you're going to make at that time. And then for the ritual part of it is I'm calling this like the gratitude blessing ritual or harvest celebration. And so it's kind of meditative. And so I would just have you, whether you're by yourself or in a group, to stand with your feet firmly on the ground, you know, take a deep breath and just slow your breathing down. And as you breathe in, just see like the universal energy flowing through the top of your head, and moving down through your body, out through the bottom of your feet, and just kind of clearing away all unwanted energy and cleansing and clearing and balancing your entire being. And then ground it, you know, lots of times, especially if I'm really stressed, you know how you're visualizing grounding, you're seeing roots, and it's going down into the earth. And sometimes if I've been really stressed, it's like ground, ground, ground. You know, my energy just seems like it's going down, down, down into the earth. It's like, you know, till it finally comes back up. And then see that, you know, that cleared, transformed energy rising up through you. And, you know, like doing that simple action kind of gets you into balance and kind of helps you to open up to the potential of anything being possible. And so then I would have you take another deep breath to kind of anchor yourself to the earth, but also to this present moment in time. And I always kind of think of us as being in a quantum field where we're all connected to each other. We are all connected in some way. And So I would have you, you know, just get quiet and think of one thing that you are truly grateful for and just form an image of that in your mind's eye. Then I'd have you bring your cupped hands together in front of you and allow the energy from that image in your mind's eye to run down your arms and out, forming a ball of energy that you're now holding between your hands. You know, and just hold it there for a minute and allow the energy within that ball to grow by seeing or sensing it. You know, see that image as detailed as possible in your mind and then release it through your hands. And you can even name that ball of energy and just fuel it with the intention of going out into the world. Then when you feel ready, just throw that ball of energy up and out into the world to become a blessing upon others, and with the intention that it goes to those who are most in need of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, in the days following that, you might want to write, you know, in your book of shadows or journal about the energy that you sent out. And don't hold any expectations but pay attention, because I think that you will be surprised in the following days of unexpected blessings entering your own life. And you can practice, this is like a little ritual that you can practice at any time, but I think that just setting that intention that it go out to whoever needs it the most, and just, you know, I think that's a good way to sow something really positive, you know, and then you will, you know, as you move along, reap that back into your own being, in your own life. And so, you know, then afterwards, you know, I would say farewell to the deities, farewell to the quarters, and then open up the circle and don't forget to ground your energy again, you know, afterwards. I know when I, earlier on when I first started doing a lot of ritual and just different various witchcraft practices, I was kind of like haphazard about my grounding. And I found that after a while, I felt like a space cadet. I just, you know, really, you know, very, very ungrounded. And, so I always recommend anytime you do any kind of like an energetic work like that, just to take your time and just, you know, and just ground again, just see that energy going through you, you know, flowing through your body and out of the bottoms of your feet into the earth. Other things that you can do if you feel ungrounded is to just go, you know, and, you know, stand on the earth, or, you know, with your bare feet, or if you like gardening or planting things, you know, working with the earth, actually getting your hands into the dirt and stuff like that really does help with grounding.
right, definitely. So very beautiful. You know, it's funny because you were saying that, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to do that. I may not do that specifically tonight. I may do it tomorrow morning as a morning ritual, but it really feels like the right thing to do. So, and technically, Lamas is, you know, August 1st, August 2nd. They're kind of like, depends on, again, going back to the cultural point of reference, the traditional point of reference, when it officially is celebrated as, you know, sometimes it's like a 5-day process. It's not just a 1-day process. So
Yes. And I think I heard that this festival would last from the first grain that was cut to the last grain. And so who knows how long that took. You know, that might have been a week a number of days.
Exactly, because of the reasoning behind first harvest and then completing that the harvest of the first set of things. It takes a while. It isn't like we have now where they just take a machine and they just zoom through and they can probably do pretty much a medium-sized, you know, plot of land in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, they mm-hmm. kind of have that. So, but, yeah. And I did, you know, you mentioned Corn Dolly, and I swear ever since I started doing this years ago, it's become, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get it so that I can get my granddaughter to participate. I'm hoping my daughter, because I have to do it in the next few days, to try and get mm-hmm. it so that they can all enjoy doing this. Because I thought, you know, I've always loved doing it. I've always had one, as they say, for years. And, you know, I was in one of the things I was doing, it was talking about how to do it. And I'm going, that's exactly how I do it, because I didn't necessarily have some kind of prescribed like diagrams on what to do back when I started. And I'm like, well, at least I know I must have been doing something right, because there's the picture of how I do it. So for, you know, some kind of a magical talisman, you know, that you yeah. use for prosperity and all of that, and then return it mm-hmm. the following year to the earth to, you know, put it out in the earth to replenish and move it mm-hmm. forward. So, yeah, that's something I'm going to do. And I think we're getting ready for our last bitty bits of everything. Yeah. So, yeah, I know this goes by so fast. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I figure I'm going to let you kind of talk about, you know, next week. I'll let you kind of introduce that mm-hmm. so we can go from there and then say our goodbyes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the theme this month is harvest. And next week, we will be talking about abundance and prosperity. And that kind of is a nice flow into the next topic,
yeah.
abundance and prosperity. So you're getting ready to wrap up here. Do you have any final thoughts?
Actually, the last thing I want to say is that, you know, your ritual, we so need that energy out in the world right now, whether it's the state mm-hmm. we're in, the country we're in, or the countries that are around us. That really set a big, you know, a big aha for all of us to try and remember to do something like that, even if it's not specifically llamas. But thank you again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks for saying that. I think that lots of times there's, you know, you just don't know how much you might impact somebody just by, you know, giving them a smile or holding the door for them or, you know, something that lots of times I think that we get so focused on, you know, driving ahead and getting, you know, getting everything done or whatever that we're not really present, you know, with what's going on or with the people around us. And, so that's a good point.
We need to say our goodbyes. It looks like our time, our keeper is reminding us. So I will say have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we will see you on the radio next week on my side, and I hand it to you to close.
Sounds good, Elvira. Yep, so looking forward to next week. But for now, goodbye, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely. Till next week.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestesscauldron.com. That's witchpriestesscauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, Merry Part, and Merry Meet Again. Blessed be.
Hello, we're Partnership Health Plan of California. We've been around for over 25 years, partnering with local doctors, your neighbors, maybe even you. Partnership is who we are. We're your partner in checkups,
in telehealth,
in cancer screenings,
in prenatal care,
in healthy families.
We're your partner in Medi-Cal.
We're your partner in health. Visit us at partnershiphp.org.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.